Well, having a little bit of a different service today in that we're going to be focusing a little bit on what God's been doing in our church. We're going to hear from some of our ministry leaders. Not all of them. We would probably be here a little longer than we're able. But we're going to hear from some of our ministry leaders and what God's been doing, what their heart is for maybe the year to come. And then we're going to focus on that personal word for each of us, what God might be wanting to do in your life and through you. So, afterwards, like I said, we're going to have local conference. This is kind of our time to make some decisions for the year, budgets and so forth. But we also like to hear what God's been doing. And so I'm going to ask some of our folks to come on up. I think I'm going to have Scott, you're going to be first to come and share with us a little bit about what God's been doing through some of the ministries that you're involved in and what you're seeing maybe that God is leading you towards in the future. Thank you, brother.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So I'll start with the media booth, kind of in the lead for the media ministries. So this past year, we've been looking to improve some of the material, some of the backgrounds and the motion loops and the videos that we've been using throughout the years. We're trying to freshen some of it, the material. As we're realizing, you know, we're part of the worship team as well, and we want to present our best effort as we worship the Lord. And with what we present on the screen and trying to keep time with the music and updating the lyrics and everything, we're trying to just focus on quality and have an integrity back there just trying to present our best foot forward as we worship the Lord. And moving forward the upcoming year, we might be looking to switch our the product that we use, the software product, might move to a tool that's a little simpler. It's not as complex. We're hoping to grow the ministry team as we've kind of had some members come and go. So with a new software product that's got a little easier interface to use, it'll be simpler for people to pick up the new tool to use. So hopefully that part won't be intimidating. You know, sometimes some people get a little intimidated using a computer, but try to keep it simple and friendly. And,
that's
and
right.
Bill, you're learning. For the men's ministry, we've had a pretty solid group of guys, pretty good core group of guys that meet every week. The ministry, again, it kind of fluctuates with the members. They come and go based on, you know, things that are happening in their personal lives and work and everything. And we've done a number of good studies. We've been leveraging the Right Now media program. They have a plethora of video studies and stuff. And this past year, I think the guys have really fallen in love with Tony Evans, and he really has spoken to a lot of the guys. And so we've been continuing with some of his studies. Right now we're going through the Watch Your Mouth. It's a study on the power of the tongue and how the Lord uses our tongue. He created us with it for a reason. And you know, it's used to fight the enemy, to declare our faith. It's used in a lot of ways. It's used to build people up in those relational moments. As Pastor Frank earlier mentioned, you know, the reason we have these small groups is to build that relation and to bring each other up in the faith and help people stay the course and fight the temptations of this worldly life that we find ourselves in at this time. And In fact, it reminds me of one of the studies we did last year called Thriving in Babylon. I mean, do we live in Babylon? So how do we maintain our faith in an environment that fights against it? So the guys, we've tried to step up with some of our service. We helped out with the parking lot. We've partnered with the women's ministry and the outreach ministries. We helped with the movie and dinner night, the trunk or treat, the Christmas at the
Living Nativity.
The Living Nativity and the Christmas party at the homeless shelter. So the guy's been pretty busy this year. We went to two retreats, one in the fall, one in the spring. We've got one coming up again in the March, a couple months away. It's coming up quick. As I mentioned earlier, as far as how God is working on us, we really want to be able to reach the community. And we thought the scholarship fund is a way to do that, to reach out to a young man in the community. So this Super Bowl party, we did it last year. We had a pretty good turnout. So this is kind of going to be our annual fundraiser for the scholarship fund. We're hoping to raise enough to offer a $500 scholarship, something that'll help a young man with some of the costs of education, books and tuition and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it creates a connection with the men, with the recipient, and hopefully, you know, there'll be some reach back. That person will hopefully realize that, you know, they have somebody that's going to be praying for them and rooting for their success. Yeah. So that's kind of what we got going on.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Good stuff going on in those areas. I'm going to ask Jillian to come on up, and she gets to be next. Amanda, I was going to have share, but our Cindy Canui, was our children's church teacher today, ended up coming up sick this morning. Another one. So Amanda's back there teaching. But Jillian, tell us a little bit about what's going on for youth and what feel the Lord's leading you in this area.
Yeah, so I've had the opportunity to help co-lead youth group for the past year or so. I teach with Ken and Terry, which has been awesome. They taught me a lot. Right now we have solidly about 5 to 6 teens a week, but they're consistent. And I tell you, the growth we've seen in these teens is great. We were really excited to have Josie get baptized, and we see other ones taking up leadership positions in the church, which really blesses my heart. We've been working through Right Now Media as well, and we just finished a study where we separated the guys and the girls. We kind of worked at, what does God want you to look like as you're growing into a woman, as you're growing into a man, and you're trusting him? So that was a powerful time as well. My heart for the youth right now is just kind of that we pour into the teens we have. I would love to see growth, don't get me wrong, but I also understand that they're in a generation where church is not the cool thing. So as we reach out to the schools and we make that connection, I'd love to see that. But I believe if we're pouring into these teens, they take it and they pour into their generation. And they go into their schools and they make that impact. And recently we did a baking thing for the teachers where we went into the schools and our teens were the first one to help out. They made little signs to say, thank you, teachers. And that was cool just to see them pouring back into their community.
Amen. Thanks, Jillian. I love what's going on. I love what's going on in our teen ministry. I love what's going on in the lives of our young adults. We have some great young people in our church. So let me see who I think Karen was next. Thank you, Karen. Karen and Suzette have been begun leading our women's ministry. So
We just took over or stepped up this the end of last year. So we've been doing studies together, and as women do, we've actually partnered with a lot of the groups and activities that have gone on this year. So we've been a part of a lot of things. And I'm not a good public speaker, so I'm going to read my thoughts. So
it's fine and dandy.
First, I wanted to say that Suzette and I both really appreciate and are thankful for being a part of our sister's ministry. And in regards to God's leading, I have felt God leading towards continuing the ongoing community of the sisters in Christ. Iron sharpens iron. It's a beautiful gift that we can all come together on Sunday to worship and draw near to Jesus. But along with our Sunday worship, God calls us to be in community and draw deeper. We live in a world full of uncertainty and chaos. Along with our own fleshly pulls, we are in need of the church community to support, challenge, and guide each other. Through increasing our knowledge of the Word and His will, we are able to heal, to grow, and be prepared to recognize how to stand and serve as the hands and feet of Christ. Personally, I know that when I find myself outside of the community of believers, I have a tendency to start seeing the world through my own hurts, prides, and expectations. And in that place, I don't believe that I can clearly and discern what God is trying to accomplish in me or through me. And it's within the community that God can remind us to look up. So I think that Suzette and I would like to create more opportunities for the women to come together, to grow, to help each other, to know how to navigate. Because sometimes when we're out there, everybody's telling us so many things. Mm-hmm. We need to be sisters, locked arms, in order to show how to heal in this world and to move forward as God's community.
Yeah, that's awesome. So important that we are, the whole concept of locking arms together, that, hey, we cannot do this alone. We are designed to be engaging in life together with other believers, not meant to be a lone ranger. Wendy, who leads our outreach committee, share with us what's been going on in your heart on this.
Hello. I brought some notes, too, because I'm not much into public
notes
speaking either.
Notes are good.
So first, I just wanted to say thank you because, like locking arms, like Karen was saying, we need each other, and I've had so many people sign up for these different events last year. Just lots of volunteers, and I need all you guys, and I'm just really grateful because everyone just stepped up and made it a wonderful event. It was because of you, so thank you. So let's see. I believe that God is calling us to reach out into our community, share His love and His life-changing gospel message. Moving forward into 2019 as a team, let's get creative and look for different ways that we can be a blessing to our neighbors. And we will have an upcoming meeting, and everyone's invited. We can't have enough hands just helping out. And again, I just thank everybody.
Thanks. Thanks, Wendy. Yeah, we had some great events that this committee took care of. The picnic, community picnic. They're part of the trunk or treat. They're part of, of course, the Christmas outreach. And is there another one that I missed? Did I say that? Yeah. So yeah, these were all awesome things, and excited. You hear the heart. Each of us, each of the ones that shared, they're doing this for a reason. They felt a pull in this direction. That was not just, you know, how many people need something to do that's just a time waster in their lives? Any? You want to add some of those things into your life? Yeah, right? We don't have time to just blow on stuff. These are things that people have felt called to do because God was putting it on their hearts. There was a nudging, and we're going to say there was a word that God was putting into their lives. And have you ever received a word, a nudge from God, a leading from God? Have you ever had that happen where it's like, wow, that was, I just knew I needed to do that. Or God just kept putting this on my heart. It wouldn't go away. You know, I think about in Scripture, you think about some simple examples, a woman who had an issue of blood, and she felt like, if I can just touch the hem of His, just to touch the hem of His garment, that's all, then I'll be healed. Where was that? That was God saying, I want you to touch the hem of His garment. You know, I think Mary, who came and anointed Jesus for His burial, I mean, that ointment was worth lots of money. That was not something you just kind of, you know what? It's just like, you know, olive oil, I'll go buy a jug at the store. This was worth a lot of money, and she gave up for that. Why? Because the Lord led her to do that. I think of Ananias, who was supposed to go, just some guy, just a believer, who God said, I want you to go and pray for Saul. He's blind right now and needs you to pray for his healing. Ananias is going, you mean the Saul, the guy that kills us? Are you talking about the guy that that persecutes the church and is traveling all over arresting people? That Saul? Yeah, you think there was a word from God there? Yeah, absolutely. God prepares us throughout life for his work on earth through each one of us. Life and God shapes us through experiences, all unique in our own lives. He grows us through those things. He matures us through those things. And if we're listening, he begins to nudge us, to give us a personal word that says, you're unique. You are unique from that one, and you're unique from that one. I've got something for you. And he wants to send us and move us and place us places that he has for you specifically. For moments that matter, moments that have an eternal significance, not just you personally, but you together as part of the church and the body of Christ. He has something for all of us, as well as each of us. Well, let's stand together as we'll read our verse. Let's see what God has for each of us and all of us today. Let's read together. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Thank you, Lord. You do have promises for us. You do have a word for us. And help us, Lord, to begin to look to you with a bit more expectation for something that you have for us, a word that you have for our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'll be honest with you. I began thinking about this message because I listened to a message by Pastor Jim Cimbala, who's somebody that I listen to on a now and again basis. He inspires me. But there was a reason I listened to this message, caught my attention, because it reminded me of my word from God and what he spoke into my life some time ago. And I didn't know what that word was at the beginning. I just began my walk with Jesus as a 25-year-old guy, just fresh out of getting engaged, quit the bar band that I was playing in, and I started walking with Jesus, started a faith relationship that changed my life. And I began to just do things in the church. And in the midst of that, I ended up receiving my ministry calling. I didn't know that that's what was happening. My ministry calling at that later on in my life was born out of my experience. I came to faith in a church that was full of life, full of excitement, full of people with changed lives and excitement for their faith. I mean, it was a vibrant, exciting place, and it was like, wow, this is awesome. But as time went by, for various reasons, God opened my eyes to it, I think maybe over a period of time, but I have a particular memory of dropping my son Lucas off to Sunday school, and he was the only one in the class. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, What happened? What's going on? What happened to this vibrant, alive place where people were, lives were being changed? And it kind of changed. And God began to lay upon my heart his calling to use me to help the church to be a healthy, thriving, and growing place as he intended it to be. Now, when God gives a word like that, he begins to birth something in you. It's not an infallible word. It is not a replacement for this word. Any word that God gives me will only be within the context of this word. It'll be supported and encouraged by this word. And what it really is the Spirit's leading for an imperfect Christ follower. That's what his word is really to us. It's his leading to someone who's imperfectly seeking to follow Christ. This verse here, I love this verse. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God, daughters of God, children of God." It's a mark of his children. That's what this is saying. As many as are led by the Spirit, those are the children of God. God's children are led, in other words. God's children are, think back on the Spirit. Jesus is the answer. The Spirit is the power behind the answer. The Spirit leads. The Spirit teaches. The Spirit guides into truth. The Spirit empowers, right? It's a mark of his children. And for me, God's calling was, the church is supposed to be full of this, full of the Spirit. It should be a thriving, growing, disciple-making place. And God's word to me was, I'm going to use you to help bring the church back to what you experienced that it was when you were new in your faith. And that's been with me since God really began. You know, there was a moment when Terry and I looked at each other and said, it's time for me to go, to leave my computer technician job and go into ministry. But the word God gave me had started long before that. He was saying, there's something that I need to do, and I'm going to use you as part of it, as part of making the church a healthy place. So what is God's word to you? What is he preparing you for? What has he burdened your heart? What has he put in your heart and mind that this is, it just won't go away? He keeps calling you back to it. He won't let it go. And that's both you personally and you and me collectively as the body of Christ. He has a word. He has something to lead us through as children of God. Now, I encourage you, this is not a seeking of your personal word. This is not something that we can take and own, and this is what God has called me to do, and I'm the one that's going to do it, and somehow it becomes my thing. I didn't seek to become a pastor. It's just something that God unfolded in my life because it was his design. It's what he was preparing me for. We can't seek out status. We can't seek out a position. We can't seek out some supernatural gift or thing. It's not something for you to claim or take as your own or hang on to. You just begin to seek God. And that's what I did. When I was a new believer, they stuck me in with the teenagers because I played guitar. I don't know how smart that was, but that's what they did. I didn't know anything about working with teens. I didn't know anything about this book. But you know what? Somehow or other, God had a way as I, what they saw in me was not that I knew how to be a youth leader. What they saw in me was that I had a hunger and a thirst to love and to serve God. I wanted to be what he wanted me to be. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And they looked at that and said, that's more important than how many smarts I had. And thankfully, God honored that. And God helped me to learn. I prayed, and Terry and I sought together, and we learned how to minister to teens. I started with worship. I mean, the songs that I knew growing up, I mean, they were just rock songs. They're nothing. Although I did take a few of them and change them into Christian songs. We won't go into that. But I just began to seek him, and I worship was something that God developed in me and caused me to hunger and thirst after more, and God said, I'm going to use this. And God grew me in that. And I kept seeking God, and I kept loving him and serving him and whatever opportunities God seemed to lay before me. And as I sought him and his will, he gave his personal word to me over time. You are here to help this church to become a healthy, thriving, growing place. You all have a part to play in that. What is God's word for you? What is it that God has for you in ministry, in serving him? Now recognize that any time he can take it, he can change it, he can replace it, or he can remind you, I still have this for you. I always thought I was going to be a youth pastor till the day I died. And then I started getting old. I can't keep up with these guys. It's okay. You'll come to the place of saying, it's not my word, God, it's yours to me. So you show me how this is going to unfold. And if in 10 years it looks different than it does now, that's okay. You just keep giving me the word that you have, the direction for my life, this leading that you have. And as we seek him rather than it, he unfolds it for us. I got 30 plus years of experience watching him do that in my life, and I know I could point out a dozen of you that have found that to be your experience as well. This verse goes on to say, my comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Your word to your servant that's given me hope, your promise preserves. There's many times that God has brought me back to his word. Many times to his word for me in this. When ministry got hard at the beginning, he would bring me back to his calling that he placed on my life to help the church to become that thriving place. When I went through the season where the church that I was associate pastor at, the pastor resigned, and I was working 80 hours a week and just fried myself. And I had to literally quit for a month and a half, take a sabbatical, because I had just, in an unhealthy way, pushed myself too hard and too far. And he reminded me in the midst of that, it's not that my calling on you was wrong. You're just doing it wrong. So can we learn how to do it better? Thankfully, I said yes, and he taught me how to do things differently. When I had to go bivocational, tough stuff. I had to start working evenings, being away from my family, he reminded me, trust me. This isn't forever. Trust me. I have a calling for you to help the church to become healthy. I ended up, didn't happen at that church. I came to this church. There were times when personal discouragement set in while I've been here. And God reminded me, be at peace. Remember this word that I have for you. I didn't bring you here without purpose. My own personal times of personal loss, he reminded me, don't forget, I'm with you. I have you here for a reason, and so far, the reason hasn't changed. And if it does, I'll let you know. Right? Yeah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, the children of God. We're a led people. Isn't that good to know? It's good to know. You know, his promise of leading, of a word, is not a future telling of some certain miracle that's going to happen. We think, well, this is what it's going to look like. And God says, not necessarily. You just trust me. You just keep seeking me. I'll show you what it's going to look like. And it may be different than what you're thinking now. Trust me, right? It's who we are, right? It's the mark of his children. We are a people led by God. I hope that that verse sticks in your heart. We are a people, the mark of his children. We are led by God. Find peace in that. Find hope in that. Seek God. He has a personal word for you. I don't know what that looks like. You don't know what that looks like. And some other person is not going to be able to come up and tell you what that looks like. You need to find that by seeking him. And as you seek him, he will give you that personal word, that vision that he's preparing you and has designed you and is changing you, preparing you for that plan, for not only for your blessing, because you'll be most blessed if you follow in his plan. If we seek out our own plan and try to get off of his path for us, I'm telling you, you will find you're fighting God's plan, and you won't find his peace and his blessing. But not only does he have a plan for your blessing, he has a plan of others' blessing through you. Right here within this body, right within your family, right within your neighborhood, right within your workplace or your school, he has a plan for you to be a blessing to others. And he has a plan for you to be a part of the blessing of Warren Community Church. You're here for a reason. None of us are here to observe. We're all here to be engaged in what God has for us, to reach our families and our community and our nation. This year is going to be a calling, a vision casting year of what are we here for? And we are here to help bring people to a knowledge of Jesus, to faith in Jesus, to a growth, a relationship where they are growing, not just in knowledge, but they're being changed and transformed from the inside out. That's what, and moved into a place of serving, each and every one of us. This is where we are going as a church. And God has great blessing. I see his fingerprints all around. And I'm excited for what God has for this year. God is good, and he's got a plan. He's leading his children. Now, you won't get it. I could have an altar call, and I can call you to commit to seeking God, but you're not going to get his word for you here. You're going to get his word for you as you seek him. And that's going to happen tomorrow morning as you spend time with him, next week, next month, as you seek him throughout this year. As you continue seeking him, he will begin unfolding his plans for your life. So my call to you is seek that personal word. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Change me. Here am I, God. Use me. I know I love you and I know you love me. So do what you want to do because I know it's going to be good. And that's my call, my challenge to you. It is where you will find that word from God that you can say, he just keeps bringing me back to this. This is what he's doing in my life. And it'll be good. It'll be good. Well, that's my challenge to you. We're going to close in prayer, take a short break till 10 after, and then those that are members and can come back for our membership meeting. If you're not a member but you would like to find out about what it means to be a member, you just want to see what's going on, everybody is welcome to participate. According to our bylaws, only members can vote. So, but we would welcome everybody to come and be a part of that at 10 after today. We'll gather right back here in the sanctuary, and we'll get some important stuff done, and we'll get it done quick. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your promises, Lord God, to be have a word that you would remember for us, a word that you'd give us hope in, Lord, a word that's a part of a promise to just be a God who leads his children. So thank you, Father. Thank you for how you're going to do that in our lives. We look forward to a great year of locking arm in arm, as my sister shared, and doing the work of the kingdom. And Lord, we will see marriages saved, lives changed, joy restored to broken people, healing happening, Lord God, new creations in Christ, baptisms. Father, this is your desire, and so we know it can happen, and we're just going to seek you for it. So bless us as we go today. For your kingdom's sake, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Oh, just one other thing. Community prayer gathering is tonight at 6 o'clock at Bethel Christian Church on Shaner and the freeway over there. So we'd love to see you. Jillian and I are both going to be sharing at that, and it'll be a wonderful time of prayer. God bless you. Come on back at 10 after. Can I have your attention 1 second, please? Linda called me this morning. Linda Steinberg. Thank you, Don. She has a nephew that was in a serious car accident, and they were going to have to remove him from life support. So his name is Larry. I thank you so much, Don, for letting me know that. I got too much going on this morning. Just pray, Father, blessings upon Larry. I thank you that he was a believer, that you're there with him. I pray for his family, Lord, that you'd comfort them during this time. Surround them, Lord God. Surround Linda and her family as they grieve this loss, but blessings upon this family, we pray by faith in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Don.